Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you would, find your notes that are there in your bulletin. We're in a series that we've entitled The Wonderful Expectation. Taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by His boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. And now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose from the dead." We've looked at different things that we have to deal with in our life and how we get to live with a wonderful expectation in spite of that. And today we're going to look at another one of those things. We get to have a wonderful expectation in spite of death. In spite of death. Now there is a great story in the book of John that I want you to know about. You probably are familiar with it, but it'll be on the screen and listen to it as we read it today, beginning in John chapter 11.
"Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus,
'Lord, the one you love is sick.'
When he heard this, Jesus said,
'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Then he said to his disciples,
'Let us go back to Judea.'
'But Rabbi,'
they said,
'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you.
Yet you are going back there?'
Jesus answered,
'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light.'
After he had said this, he went on to tell them,
'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.'
His disciples replied,
'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.'
Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly,
'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.'
Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples,
'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them and the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
'Lord,'
Martha said to Jesus,
'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask.'
Jesus said to her,
'Your brother will rise again.'
Martha answered,
'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.'
Jesus said to her,
'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?'
'Yes, Lord,'
she told him.
'I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world.'
And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
'The teacher is here,'
she said,
'and he's asking for you.'
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said,
'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
'Where have you laid him?'
he asked.
'Come and see, Lord.'
They replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said,
See how he loved him.
But some of them said,
Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
Take away the stone,
he said.
But Lord,
said Martha, the sister of the dead man,
by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days.
Then Jesus said,
did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.
When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them,
take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done.
I want us to look at that story and kind of pick out some things that you and I need to learn about death and about how we need to look at it. And I'm going to begin with the very first thing is death is something that's common to all. It's common to all of us. Now, you may be sitting here this morning thinking, why in the world did I come? I don't want to hear about this subject. This is the last subject in the world I want to talk about. I don't want to be reminded about it. You probably opened your notes when you walked in and said, oh, no, what in the world is he thinking? Why would we deal with death? Why would we talk about it? Well, I've kind of always had this mentality. Why talk about something that all of us have to deal with? Let's just hide it. You know, we got other things. Why talk about it? You know, we don't want to talk about sex. Why, you know, we all got to deal with it, but let's not talk about it. And so sometimes, even in the church, we become a people with, well, I don't want to talk about that subject. I don't want to have to deal with this. And yet the Bible has a lot of great information for us to apply to our lives. And so you and I have to understand this is common to all of us. We all have to face death. Now in the story, they had to deal with death. And Jesus said, this is a sickness that's not going to end in death. But we also have to understand the other side of it. There are some sicknesses that end in death. Someday you're going to die. Someday you're going to have somebody close to you die. Now here's how the writer in Ecclesiastes put it. It is better to spend your time at funerals than at festivals. Anybody agree with that? For you're going to die, and you should think about it while there's still time. Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks much about death, while the fool thinks only about having a good time now. Boy, isn't that true? It's common to us. You and I have to deal with this. We have to face it. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. The righteous pass away. The godly often die before their time. No one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come, for the godly who die will rest in peace. Now you see, why think about death? I mean, after all, I don't want to have to deal with it. I'll deal with that later. No, because when you understand death, you'll understand how you should live. Because someday, people are going to gather in a room somewhere after you've passed away, and they're going to talk about you. Okay? That's one thing that happens, doesn't it? Now, when they talk about you, what are they going to say? And what are they going to avoid talking about? Well, knowing that's going to happen, I should want to live a life that when they gather in that room, they can talk about me in a positive way and not have to lie about it or pretend. So you and I have to understand that death is common to all. You can do everything you want to try and extend your life, but God is in control. God is the one who says, time's up. And so you and I deal with this. It's a common thing all of us have to deal with. Secondly, death is a time of confusion. It's a time of confusion. Our text says the disciples were confused.
Mary and Martha were confused. What's going on? Why did this happen? And you and I, when death operates towards us, we get confused by it. We have a lot of question when death goes on. Why did this happen? Why did it happen this way? Why did it happen now? What am I going to do now? Why do I feel this way? When will I stop hurting? How am I going to make it? Is this a dream? When will this be over? I don't want to have to go on from here. I don't understand. And many times we have all kinds of emotional issues that we have to work through. Now, please understand something. You should have those issues. Those are something you have to address. They are going to come into your life. There are times and elements of confusing, because here's what we all understand, I hope. You and I understand that life is confusing at times, isn't it? Why do people do certain things? Why do certain things happen? Why did it happen this way? I don't understand why I'm having to address this. And when death comes, it just brings so many of those things to the forefront. We have a lot of questions. Now, please understand something. Ask all the questions you want. Just understand they will probably not be answered. Oh, good. I'm glad I came today. Thanks for that one. You have to understand that when you're going through loss, the grieving process takes time. And there isn't a shortcut. There isn't something that says, I don't want to have to spend the time. I want it to be over with now. And what we have to come to grips with is that we will, to some degree, feel the effects of death for the rest of our life, but life goes on. In just a few weeks, we'll be celebrating Mother's Day. This will be the first Mother's Day for me when my mother's not here. The effects of it will just be a part of your life for the rest of your life. And so I have to accept that. There's a lot of questions I have. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things I'd like to have answered, but I don't get to have them answered. And so confusion comes in the midst of that. The disciples, what's he doing? Why isn't he going? Well, he's going there now. He's going to get killed if he goes there. What in the world was he thinking? Mary and Martha, Jesus, if you had have been here, you could have stopped this. Why didn't you come? Why weren't you here? And sometimes in the midst of death, God, where are you? And God, why didn't you stop this? And God, why didn't you prevent this? And we have all these things going through our minds and all these emotions dealing with our hearts and everything that we have to come to understand and accept the fact whenever death is a part of our life and we have to deal with it in some form or another, it's confusing. That's just the natural process of what goes on. A lot of questions, not many answers. Thirdly, death is the time to receive comfort. To receive comfort. The shortest verse in the Bible, perhaps one of the greatest verses in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus understands our sorrow. Jesus, in all probability, we're not told, but we kind of believe, in all probability, Jesus had lost his earthly father, Joseph. Jesus understood death. And Jesus looks around at the people and he senses their emotion. He sees what they're going through and he cries on their behalf because he puts himself in their place. Now here's something we need to understand. If Jesus cried at death, I think it's okay for me to cry at death. Don't ever tell somebody, oh, come on, don't cry. Just don't say that. Okay? Hello? Did y'all die on me? What happened to me? It's okay to weep. But God, in the midst of all of that, wants to give comfort. You watch Jesus during this process and in this story, he is doing everything he can to comfort those immediately involved. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Why does he comfort us? So we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. In other words, the more you go through difficulty, the more God steps it up in providing comfort for you. Verse 6, so when we're weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it's so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in suffering, you will also share God's comfort. Here's one thing I can guarantee you, that when you have to deal with the death of a loved one, God is with you. God is close beside you, and God wants to comfort him, comfort you. Now here's the question, will you let him? I've watched many people over the years, God's comfort's available, they refuse to receive it. They want to hurt. They want to push away from everything that's everybody around. They just say, no, I don't want that. I don't understand. And in the midst of our confusion sometimes, it causes us to reject the comfort that God offers because we don't understand. Now, let me just tell you something else here, according to this scripture and some others, that I can pretty confidently tell you. Many times the comfort God wants to give to you is through other people. Now, that's good news and bad news. Because what I've watched over the years is that when people go through the loss of someone, they tend to push other people away. Many times God offers comfort to you through other people. Well, but they say the wrong things. Yes, they do. It's amazing to me how incredibly stupid and insensitive people can be, thinking they're being very caring. It's just amazing. People will say dumb things. People will say things they shouldn't say. But you have to understand, they are trying to offer comfort. Look beyond the words and look at the heart. Be careful when you push people away. Now, how do you push people away? Here's the number one way you will push people away. Someone will come up to you and say, well, I remember the time, I understand what you're going through. And you say, no, you don't. The moment you begin to say to someone, you don't understand, you are rejecting God's comfort. They might not understand. That isn't the issue. The issue is they are trying to offer comfort. They may not understand at all, but allow God to give his comfort through them to you. And then make a resolution in your mind, you know what, when I'm talking to somebody who's lost somebody, I'm not going to say to them, I know how you feel. Write that down, by the way, all of you. Okay? Because when you're going through grief and loss, you don't care how anybody else feels. You don't care whether they understand or not. Right? The words aren't, it's the expression. I'm going to pray for you. I'll be praying for you. I know God cares for you. If I can help. It's those words. It's words that say, I'm here. It's words that express comfort. And so you and I have to understand that death comes, and everyone deals with death differently. You know, just as somebody said it's okay to cry. Well, okay, somebody's going through something. Oh, you just need a good cry. Ladies, let me just tell you something. For us men, having a good cry is not a solution to anything. Okay? It's just not. Now, you know, some need to do that. That's great. Some don't. That's great. What becomes critical is that you grieve in a healthy manner. You see, there's good grief and there's unhealthy grief. You got to heal. It takes time. What am I looking for? I'm looking for the time when, as I go on in time, that I can look back on what happened and not be devastated by it. I'm looking for the time where I can look back and have a memory that's good and not be emotionally torn apart because of it. The memory will always be there. But the hurt and the pain of the loss doesn't have to remain forever. And so you have to have a healthy grief. That means I have to stay connected to people. We have a great program called Grief Share. You can get information about it out at the information counter. It's a great place for you to come and talk to some people and get some help that you need. Because you see, it has to be healthy. I've watched people grieve in an unhealthy way. It's kind of like if you break a bone in your body. If you break that bone and do nothing with it, that bone will heal, but it will cause you pain the rest of your life, won't it? But if you take that bone and get it set, it will heal and it won't create the pain. That's something like grief. There's healthy and unhealthy grief. It takes time. There's no substitute for it. Well, Pastor, how long? Well, if you're past the 4 or 5 year mark, and every time you look back on that event that happened and that death of a loved one, and it still rips you apart and tears you apart, then you probably haven't been through healthy grief. And I got to come to that place where I understand, in the midst of this time, God has comfort for me if I'll let him comfort me. Well, God, here's what I need. Now, please understand something. I think you know this by now. Have you realized that God doesn't take orders very well from you? And that when you want to start telling God how he has to operate in your life, that's not going to work out very well. God, I want your comfort. Just don't use any of these people here, please. When you do that, you've eliminated God's ability to help you. God wants to comfort you. Let him. Well, I just hurt so bad. I can't. Yes, you can. All right, I'll go on. Death is a time when we confirm our hope in God. We confirm our hope in God. Mary and Martha believed that God was able to resurrect, and they trusted him. God, Jesus, we know he's going to be resurrected. We know there's a better way. Jesus, we know. We know if you'd have been here. We know. And death is a time when you put your confidence and your trust in God. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If we have hope in Christ only for this life, we're the most miserable people in the world. To come to understand that God wants to keep giving you hope, a hope for the future. God wants to tell you that life will go on and can go on. And our hope is in God for this life and for the next. Who can give you comfort like God can? And let God's ways comfort you in whatever way he chooses. Who can give you the strength like God can? Who can give you the peace of mind like God can? Who can help bring healing into your life like God can? He's the one that we turn to. He's the one that we trust. He's the one that we put our hope in. God still wants to use you. God is your strength. God will see you through. God will undergird you. God will help you. God will weep with you. God will care for you. God will provide for you. God will take care of you. Don't we just keep rambling? Because you and I have to understand, God is the one that we got to lean on during this time. He's the one who will help us. And so death becomes the time that I turn to God for his support, his strength. Yeah, but God doesn't give me the answers. Hold on. No, you got it wrong. God is the answer. You don't need the other answers because God's the answer. And if you have God, the questions don't matter. We get hung up on wanting to understand why. Get hung up on, well, what could I have done? Hung up on all the things that I wish I would have and all those things that are there. We get hung up because we try to resolve everything. We try to have all the answers to everything. And there's so many things in life there isn't a good answer for. And even if the answer was given, we'd just be staring with blank eyes, confused. And what we have to learn is this. He's the answer. He's the one who's going to help me. He's the one who's going to take care of me. He's the one who's going to provide for me. He's going to be the strength that I need. He's the God who's going to comfort me. He's the God who tells me, you know what? This life isn't all there is. There is more to come. He's the one who lets me know that I don't need to get taken up with this world and all that happens here because there is another world that is more real than this world. And so I put my trust and confirm my hope in him. God, it's in these times that I hope in you. And I thank you that my hope is not just in this life, but is also in the next. And I have much more, God, that I have from you. Final point that you and I need to understand. Death has been and will be conquered. Death has been and will be conquered. Jesus has overcome the power of death. Now, I want to tell you something maybe you haven't ever thought of before, but you better from this time on. As a Christian, death is not defeat. Death is victory. When I die, I win. And death is a time of victory. Oh, Pastor, where'd you come up with that one at? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. It will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, the Christians who have died will be raised and with transformed bodies, and then we who are living will be transformed so that we'll never die. In other words, we're all going to be changed. That's all that verse is saying. We're all going to be changed. 53, for our perishable bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that'll never die. When this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last the scriptures will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your victory? It's mock when you say that. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? For this sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. How we thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Death is victory. As a Christian, it's a victorious time. We conquered. We've overcome. We've been faithful. The victory is ours. And too many times we look at it and say, well, you know, cancer got him. Cancer. No, it didn't. Cancer didn't win. Not for a Christian. Cancer sickness doesn't win. We win. Because when we die, we now enter into eternity and we live forever in a body that never dies. Death has been conquered. Paul writes again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to the Christians who have died. So you will not be full of sorrow like people who have no hope. Now notice, there's still sorrow, you just don't have it in the same way. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died. And I can tell you just directly from the Lord, we who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not rise to meet him ahead of those who are in the graves. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the call of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves, then together with them. That's the emphasis that he has here. He's trying to understand, well, how's all that going to work? How's this going to come up? They're going to come up. We're going to come down. Who's going out? Who's going first? You know, how's all this going to happen? Don't get caught up in that. Here's the issue. Together with them, we who are alive and still remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's what we focus on. Remain with him forever. Now notice what it says. So comfort and encourage each other with these words. As a Christian today, I have a wonderful expectation in spite of death. Because death is not the end. Death is just the beginning. Death is not defeat. Death is victory. Yes, I have to deal with it. Yes, I have to face it. Yes, I have to somehow accept God's will and God's plan in things. You have questions. I have questions. We look at all of that and wonder, why? How? God says, put your hope in me. trust in me. I will be there with you to comfort you when you go through these times. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will provide for you. I will encourage you. Don't be despondent. Don't allow death to overwhelm you. Understand that it is a part of this sinful world. And allow me to be your source of comfort and your source of hope and your source of victory. And even though we have to deal with death, we still live with a wonderful expectation. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.